Turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Since we're baptizing Kimberly today, I wanted to preach this morning on the picture in baptism. The picture in baptism. And then the next hour, I'll bring a message on the confession in baptism. So we'll look at the picture in baptism. Next hour, we'll see the confession in baptism. Now, in baptism, we're picturing that our salvation is by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That He's all our salvation. That it was accomplished in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how God is honored. This is how righteousness was established for God's people, how they were justified. This is how they're brought to be innocent before God with no record of sin. If by Christ, by Christ alone, by His death, burial, and resurrection. And so that's what we're picturing in water baptism. Now, first of all, baptism pictures the fact that the believer's old man of sin died in the death of Christ. The water is symbolic of a grave, the watery grave. And when that believer goes under in that watery grave, buried in that watery grave, they're picturing that their old man of sin, the old fleshly sinful man, died in Christ when He died. That's what we're picturing. Look at Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that as many as were baptized, and the word here is unto Jesus Christ, we don't baptize ourselves into Christ, we're baptized unto Christ, and many as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death. It simply means Christ's death is what we pictured by water baptism. That's what it means. Christ's death is what we pictured by water baptism. Verse 4. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism unto death. Therefore, we're picturing by baptism that we're buried with Christ. You see that? That's what we're picturing. That we're buried with Christ. Now, let me ask a question. Why did Christ have to die? And He had to die. Why did Christ have to die? It was necessary, first of all, for God. Before it was to your benefit or my benefit, it was to God's benefit. It was to declare God just. To declare God just. Look at Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. You see that? The wages of sin is death. And God's glory is, He told Moses in Exodus 34:7, I will by no means clear the guilty. By no means. That God is just. The sinner must die because God is just. But Christ knew no sin. So why did Christ die? He knew no sin. Our Lord Jesus was not conceived in sin like you and I are. You and I are conceived in sin from our dad, from our father. We get His sin nature. And He got it from Adam, all the way back to Adam. Christ wasn't conceived in sin like we are. And not only that, Christ walked under the law for 33 and a half years and never sinned one time, not in thought, not in word, not in deed. Christ was proven by that to be God providing Himself a lamb. Remember when Abraham told Isaac that? God will provide Himself a lamb. And that lamb God provided is the spotless lamb, without spot or blemish, pictured in that Old Testament lamb. But the purpose for which Christ came into this world was to be the head of His people. The purpose for which He came into this world was to be head of His people, to be their legal representative, to be their substitute. The purpose for which He entered this world is at the appointed hour. Remember what He said? It said throughout Scripture, His hour had not yet come. And then there came a time when Christ said, My hour is come. And that hour came, and it was appointed that Christ would present Himself to the Father as the spotless lamb, fit so that God could lay on Him the iniquity of all His people. So that God could make Him sin, who knew no sin, in place of His people. That was the whole reason He came, so that then, having been made sin, God would be just to bruise Him in the place of His people. Listen to Isaiah 42:21. This was to honor God's law. This was to satisfy God's justice. Isaiah 42:21 says, The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. That chapter begins talking all about Christ. It says, Behold my servant whom I uphold. And then it says in verse 21, The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. The Lord's satisfied. Justice is satisfied by His righteousness. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. You and I don't magnify the law. We broke the law. The law wasn't given for you and I to magnify it. The law was given to declare us guilty. That's what the law was given for. Christ came to magnify and honor the law. So Christ, His own self, bare our sins in His own body on the tree. That's 1 Peter 2:24. When God made Him sin, that's what Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He had made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And when He made Him sin for us, Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Now, when Christ was made sin, as the head, the legal representative of His people, as the substitute in place of His people, when He was made sin, now hear this carefully, God immersed Christ in judgment. God immersed Christ in justice. In the just judgment of God. He was immersed in it by divine justice against sin. That's what Christ was bearing on the cross. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and then I'll turn my hand upon the little ones and gather them. Smite the shepherd. That's what was happening. The shepherd was being smitten in place of his people because he was bearing the sins of his people. Listen to this. He was wounded for our transgressions. You see substitution in that? In the place of all his people. In the place of his people. In the place of all those God gave him to represent. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We couldn't honor the law. All God's sheep. Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. All His sheep went astray. We're ungodly. We could not do anything to honor the law. This was Christ honoring the law. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's why he did it, to satisfy his justice. When it said it pleased the Lord to bruise him, it's not that God like takes some pleasure in Christ being bruised. It's that he's satisfied. Justice is honored. Justice is satisfied. God has by no means cleared the guilty. And the reason that we immerse believers all the way under the water is not only because the word baptism actually means immersion. That's what the word means. Baptism is immersion. And that not, but we do it not only because of that, but because on the cross, Christ was immersed in judgment. He was immersed in judgment. Every part of him suffered by the judgment of God. He was immersed in it. Let me give you some scriptures. Psalm 69:1 says, and you know the Psalms are all speaking of Christ. These are prophetical speakings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And many of these are the speakings of Christ on the cross. Psalm 69:1, he says, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Listen to Psalm 18:4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Listen to Lamentations 3:54. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. When Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was cut off. You know, 1 Thessalonians tells us that's the wages of sin. The wages of sin is not the first death. The wages of sin is after that death, when you meet God in judgment, you will be cast out from the glory of God's presence. And on the cross, Christ was suffering that living second death. In the place of his people, he was cut off from the glory of God's presence. That is a mystery. God forsaking God is what took place on the cross. He was cut off from the glory of his presence. And when he did that, he said, waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. Psalm 42:7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout. When God calls for judgment, judgment's falling. It's falling. You remember the ark in Noah's day? It was a picture of this. The rain of judgment. That's what that rain was. It was judgment. It came down from above, but it didn't just come down from above. God opened the waterspouts of the deep and all the waters in the earth came up. So that that ark was immersed in the judgment of God on the cross. I mean, in the ark. The ark was. That's a picture of Christ on the cross. So by this, brethren, God's justice is honored and the law is fulfilled. His justice is honored and the law is fulfilled. When Christ died, when he bore that just judgment in place of his people, God's justice was honored upon all his people. That was God executing all his people by executing his son in their place. So God's just. He did not clear one single sinner. He punished all sinners when he punished Christ. Now, there's another reason, another picture that we're picturing in baptism. We're declaring that God is the justifier of his people. Not only that God is just, but he's the justifier of his people. This is the second purpose for which Christ came. He came to declare the righteousness of God, how that God might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Men like to talk about how they justified themselves in some way, like believing on Christ. Faith receives justification already accomplished by Christ. He came to declare God is the justifier. That's Romans 3:21, I believe. He came to declare God's the justifier. Look at verse 6, Romans 6:6. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When Christ was crucified, every elect child of God was in Christ. Christ was made to be what we are, and we were in Him. And therefore, our old man of sin is crucified with Him so that the body of sin, that is our old fleshly man, is now destroyed. Now let me tell you what destroyed means. Here's what destroyed means. The word destroyed means to render inactive, to deprive of force and power, to cause to cease, to make to pass away, to be done away with. So on the cross, our old man was crucified with Christ so that our old man might be rendered inactive and caused to cease and pass away and be done away with. When Christ died, the old man of sin and all his people died before the judgment seat of God. And let me tell you something, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. How does God see me? What does God say about me? Our old man of sin was crucified when Christ was crucified, and it was done away with. It was destroyed in Christ on the cross. And so, what happens when a man dies? What happens when a man dies? Can the law say anything to him when he dies? Do you see these men who are wanted, and when they're caught up with and they're shot and killed, do you see the law then propping them up in a courtroom and trying to take them and sentence them and take them to jail? The law has nothing else to say to them. They're dead. Well, look at Romans 6:7. He that is dead is freed from sin. You know what that word freed means? Justified. Justified. We're going to see that same word later, but it means something else later. It's translated from a different word later. We'll see that in the next hour. Here it means justified. Justified. To be justified, what is that? What is it to be justified from our sin? That means our sin. Now get this. The sin of everybody Christ was representing on that cross. Listen to this carefully. The sin of everyone who professes faith in Christ, who's born of God and brought to faith in Christ. Listen to this. Our sin in thought, word, and deed, past, present, and future, was blotted out of God's record book, and God will remember our sins no more. No more. It's not just as if we never sin. Just as if I'd never sinned. Before God, I don't have and never have had any sin. There's no remembrance of it. It's gone. That's what it is for the old man to be destroyed. For us to be justified from our sin. And so God says to everyone who believes on Christ. Now listen to me carefully. This is not said to everybody. This is said to everybody that believes on Christ. I press upon you the urgency of believing on Christ. There is no salvation outside of Christ. Faith in Christ is renouncing all your works, everything about you, and saying, I'm trusting Christ only to save me. And God says to all who believe on Christ, listen to this, verse 11, Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. We're dead unto sin. God says, I do not see sin in my people. And I don't remember ever seeing sin in my people. Christ has put it away. To be justified is to be made the righteousness of God. That's what Christ did. He made His people the righteousness of God in Him. Get that now. If the law can never say anything, if the law can never charge you or me with sin, And all the reason it can't do that is if we're as righteous as the law is righteous. As righteous as God is righteous. And that's what Christ is, and that's what we are in Christ. Isn't that good news? All right, now, what do you do with a dead body? You bury it. You bury that dead body. You bury it. They took Christ's body there, and they buried it in a tomb. Now, when you see that, just know this. Your old man of sin, just see your old man of sin buried in that tomb with Christ. So when the believer goes completely under the water, into that watery grave, it's a picture that we died when Christ died. We were buried when Christ was buried. Justified. Here's the second thing that the believer is showing in this thing. When he comes up out of the water, he's showing that when Christ arose, we arose in Him to newness of life. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. We believe that all those Christ justified on the cross arose with Christ when He arose from the dead. Ephesians 2:6 says He raised us up together and He made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And in addition to that, we believe that all whom Christ justified shall in time be regenerated and partake of that first resurrection to newness of life where they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We're bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Everybody God chose, everybody God predestinated, He chose to be saved through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And in addition to this, we believe that all those for whom Christ died shall at last be raised in the final resurrection to be with Christ in glory forever. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. Now this is a must because Christ satisfied justice. That's why it's a must. Christ satisfied justice. He justified His people. Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him, for in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Christ dies no more. He can die no more. Death has no more dominion over Christ. You know why? Because 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You know what Christ did? He fulfilled the law. He put away the sin of His people by His one offering, by dying one time. He fulfilled the law and put away the sin of His people. So then, death has no more dominion over Christ. And because death has no more dominion over Christ, death has no more dominion over His people. In that He liveth unto God, and so do His people. So do His people. And therefore, we're assured by the justice of God. You see, righteousness is the key. You want to believe on God, He's going to make you behold His righteousness at the cross. Because you'll only trust somebody that's trustworthy. And that's what He's declaring in Christ on the cross. He's showing that God will do what is right and just always. And being assured that God is just and that He will not pour out judgment a second time on those that have already been cleared. He won't do that. That wouldn't be justice. And God will not do what's not justice. He will not pour out sin on those for whom Christ died. And being assured of this, brethren, God says to every one of us who believe on Christ, verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here is the picture. When the believer goes down into that watery grave, he's picturing that he was crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, justified by Christ, made righteous by Christ. His old man of sin was buried, put away, destroyed. And when he comes up out of that watery grave, he's picturing that when Christ arose, he arose to newness of life. That when Christ entered into him and regenerated him by the Holy Spirit, he became a regenerated new man. And now, from henceforth, he's walking in newness of life. That's the picture. And we'll look at that more next time. But what we're declaring is that thanks be unto God who giveth, freely giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. We'll come back and see the confession of baptism. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for giving us this ordinance and showing us in such a clear, visible picture what Christ accomplished for you and for your people on the cross. Make us this day, Lord, behold him and rejoice in him as we see this believer go under the water and as we see this believer come out of the water. Cause us to thank you. Cause us to see Christ and rejoice in what he's accomplished for us. Father, forgive us our sin. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.